Well, today we come to the very heart of the Sermon on the Mount, which is called the Our Father, also known as the Lord's Prayer. And for centuries, at least since the Council of Trent, the Our Father has been used to teach in the Catechism as one of the four pillars of the Catholic faith. If you go to any good catechism, you know the Catechism is divided into four parts: the Creed, the Commandments, the Sacraments, and prayer. And in the New Catechism, there is one of the most beautiful descriptions of prayer and a commentary on the Our Father. So I would encourage you to read that. So the New Catechism, the last section, it's only about 10% of the Catechism, is on prayer, and it's a beautiful explanation of the Our Father. And so it goes through each of the phrases of the Our Father and gives us very good insights into what the Lord is talking about when he gives us the Our Father. And of course, the Our Father is used as a pattern for all prayer, because the Our Father contains praise and adoration of Almighty God. It contains petitions, including the seven petitions of the Our Father, asking the Lord what we need. We pray for everything we need spiritually and materially. We also ask God to forgive our sins, so it's an act of contrition. It's also saying we want God to forgive our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And it's a prayer of exorcism to protect us from all evil. So it is the pattern for all prayer, because it includes adoration and petition and prayers of intercession for ourselves and for others. So very briefly, when we look at the Our Father, Jesus says, this is how you are to pray. And notice it's a communal prayer. We don't pray my Father, we pray our Father. Because even if we say it by ourselves, we're praying for the needs of the world and the needs of the entire church. We call God Father, which means that we are his sons and daughters. We are his children. And the word Abba is a very intimate word that a young child would speak to his father. And we remind ourselves that this incredible Father is in heaven. And we keep our thoughts always focused on heaven, even though we live on earth. A Christian lives in the world, but always has his or her eyes focused on heaven. And we pray that then the petitions of the Our Father: Lord, may your name be made holy. Hallowed be thy name. In the Bible, a person's name is their whole person. So this is saying, may God be honored and worshiped and glorified. May his name always be loved and respected. May God be adored and glorified throughout the world. We then pray, thy kingdom come. The Catechism of the St. Pius X says that it's a threefold kingdom. When we say, thy kingdom come, we're praying, we look forward to the heavenly kingdom of getting to heaven one day. We also pray for the kingdom of God on earth, which is the church. We pray that the church will grow and spread throughout the world and evangelize all peoples. It also means we pray for God's kingdom of his grace may reign within our souls through sanctifying grace. Then we pray, may God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How is God's will done in heaven? Well, it's done by the angels and the saints, perfectly, readily, willingly, lovingly. So we pray that we may do God's will on earth as the angels and saints do it perfectly in heaven. And we pray, give us this day our daily bread, that each day we pray for the spiritual and material needs of ourselves and of the world. And daily bread not only means our physical bread, but it also means our super substantial bread, which is the word that Saint Jerome used in his translation, which sort of indicates the Eucharist. Give us this day our super substantial bread. May we receive Holy Communion every day, if at all possible. Forgive us our debts, our transgressions, our trespasses, our sins, to the exact same degree that we forgive those who sin, trespass, or are in debt to us. The most challenging word in the Our Father is one of the shortest words, as. So we're saying, God, forgive me my sins, as I am willing to forgive those who sin against me. So we set the standard, we set the measuring rod. God will forgive us to the degree that we forgive others. And then it concludes by saying, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So we've had our praise of God, we have our petitions, we have our act of contrition, forgive us our sins, and then we pray a little exorcism prayer. Deliver us from evil. Protect us from the evil one, not only evil in general, but personified evil, the devil. Protect us from the evil one. And protect us from all evil. Do not let us be tempted beyond our strength. Give us the grace we need in times of temptation. All of that is included in that prayer. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. So this is called the world's greatest prayer because it was taught to us by Christ himself. Christ is God. This prayer is perfect in every way. The Our Father is something that could be said by children or discussed by theologians for entire lifetimes and never plumb the depths of the beauty of this prayer. So when we say the prayer in a few moments, let's not say it just not like the pagans in Babylon. Let's always say it from the heart to truly understand what this prayer means and to say it reverently and slowly and carefully, because this prayer really contains everything that we need.